Glad to announce today that based on the state's solid fiscal condition, I've ordered accelerated by a year the payment of the last of the debts the state once owed to local governments, about $212 million budgeted for payment at the end of the upcoming fiscal year. I believe we can responsibly pay now. Due to the large property tax cut and the caps which are coming, we're headed for a new era of taxpayer protection in Indiana, and that'll require some adjustments. And as we all know, for local governments, we thought that this cash arriving early might help them, and I've asked the budget office to see that it's distributed promptly. I have a second announcement with specific reference to Lake County. Through an innocent confusion, best I can tell, about $10 million of property tax rebate money was not distributed to taxpayers in Lake County. And I've ordered the Property Tax Relief Fund Board to issue the appropriate clarification and instruction this morning. 29,000 of some of the poorest neighborhood property taxpayers in Lake County were denied money that was clearly intended for them. And I don't think it was anyone's fault, but it is important that these tax rebates get to the people for whom they were intended. And I've asked that board, and they have acted to issue the appropriate order this morning.
When can counties anticipate getting this money? Will they get it? It says by the end of May, so they'll have it in hand by the end of May?
Yeah, they will. Ryan, are we wired this money?
Yeah.
No later than the end of May, yeah.
2 months left in the fiscal year. We're taking $106 million out. Doesn't leave you that far off that even. You're confident there's enough money to withstand this with the economy sagging nationally?
Well, let's be clear. First of all, we're watching every penny very carefully. But revenues are running ahead of forecast, somewhat, and meanwhile spending has been held below budget. The combination gives us confidence we are going to turn in a fourth consecutive balanced budget and surplus this year. The early payment of this money comes out of the existing surplus and should be thought of as a balance sheet item, essentially. We're already carrying it as a debt, and it won't change the state's stated surplus position. Simply a cash matter to pay it now and not later.
What will the surplus be at the end of this year?
Well, after the last 3 years, we had accumulated almost exactly $1 billion, and I'm hesitant to put a number on it, but we think we will add to that significantly this year. This is in stark contrast to every state around us. If you've been following this, every state around us is not only in deficit, but most are in crisis. They're raising taxes in Illinois. Minnesota just passed the biggest tax increase in state history. Education has been slashed in several nearby states. We're just determined not to let Indiana get into that position.
How much do you expect will be in that you don't fund?
Well, in excess of $1 billion. We entered with $1 billion. We think we'll have an annual surplus this year. Not prepared to guess at a number yet. But
isn't that money you're talking about that includes tourism reserve and rainy day and general fund?
That's right. I'll refer you to Ryan for a division of how it breaks down.
How well have your agencies responded to the 5% spending cut you ordered? It was December. How has that gone?
Very well. Some have beaten it.
Is this it for repaying the debt? I know there's $31 million to the universities. Is that it as far as that's the last?
That's it. All the debts will be paid. And the universities essentially will get paid as they bring forward specific purposes. Their situation is a little different. But local governments, as we know, are headed for a period of adjustment as we protect taxpayers in a new way in Indiana, property taxpayers. And cash sooner, I hope, will be helpful to them. I, in many cases, should prevent them from having to borrow money while they wait.
Governor, yesterday the California Supreme Court legalized gay marriage. Mm-hmm. Do you see that, reviving that as an issue here, or do you see it as a Republican issue going out and saying, I told you so?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't have anything new to say about this. I think whether it's this issue or some other, it's unfortunate when judges rip decision-making out of the hands of the people. These things ought to be decided by the people of California or any other state. But nothing new to say beyond that.
This morning there's the summit with Purdue in Indiana on life science in Indiana. I know you spoke there this morning. But what does Indiana have to do, or does it want to talk there? I see some representatives from San Diego there talking about how it's succeeded there. Do you want to copy San Diego, or are you thinking we'd go a different route, or how do you see that?
The life sciences progress in Indiana is real, and it's been very quick. We've been measured as the perhaps the fourth now biggest concentration of life science activity and jobs. But we have a lot to learn from those who established themselves, those areas who established themselves ahead of us. It was a very exciting group of people. I've been to it before, and I'm very convinced, and the record of recent new investments here shows that in all of Indiana, but especially the triangle between our three great research universities, is already becoming one of the life sciences capitals of America, and we're going to do everything we can to accelerate that momentum.
Governor, I want to go back to Norm's question. I wasn't sure when you said, no, I don't. Which question?
Well, I think he was asking me, will it, it's something about a political prediction. And I should just say, I don't know. But I've said often that I think it is usually unfortunate when judges take unto themselves the power to make decisions or to overturn decisions that the people of any state have made. And I think it undermines democracy and people's sense of that they have control over their own lives and communities.
So do you think we need a constitutional amendment to protect against that here?
I've said before I would vote for one if it were put on the ballot to protect against this very outcome, to protect the right of the people of Indiana to make this choice, not have it dictated to them.
Governor, you're swearing in Judge Wayne Brown to the Court of Appeals today. Have you appointed her successor to the trial court in Southern Indiana?
I don't think we have made that formal yet, but I'll check and answer you, Byron. We've made the selection. Have we made the announcement?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, stand corrected. We'll give you the...
On the Wake County situation, you said it's no one's fault. In that case, what happened?
It isn't clear to me. I just became aware of this literally in the last day or two. But Lake County had a unique situation. They were the only county in the state with a circuit breaker in place for last year. And this had to do with the intersection of the rebates that all the state got and that circuit breaker. But the result was that $10 million that was clearly intended for property taxpayers was held at the county level. And we're clarifying today that it needs to go there. There are 29,000 property owners, homeowners, who deserve more money. And when you look at where they live, it's Gary and East Chicago and many other places which are predominantly low income. So it's very important we get this mistake corrected.
Is this in the entire county or just in selected communities?
We'll give you a list. It looks to be across the county, but it is predominant in some of the lower income areas. So that makes it to me even more urgent we fix it.
So some people did get the rebates, but there are some who until now.
Right. The vast majority got a rebate. Many got less than they were entitled to. And in fact, I'm told that a significant number of people got a check for $0 and 0 cents.
Governor, what are your thoughts on it's enough against Jill and Townsend in the general election that we have primary results in?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about facing her over Schellinger? Does it make a difference to you? What kind of campaign do you hope to run?
No. We intend a positive campaign. There's a great story to tell about change that's come to Indiana. And we'll tell it. We think we have a very constructive agenda for what we would do if rehired for another 4 years. And we'll tell that. And try to stay positive. It's been our practice. And I don't tend to deviate from it.
There's a fair amount of concern on Republicans up on Capitol Hill about, in fact, one congressman referred to it as if we were a dog food, they could be taken off the shelves. And I wonder, and this is in the wake of these three losses, including the one in Mississippi, do you have any concerns that that Republican, that you're heading into this anti-Republican wind in November?
Well, probably might have some effect, but most people are looking at those results and saying any party that wants to be trusted with public service better have some ideas, better stand for change. And as I've said for 4 years, Indiana Republicans cannot control what happens in Washington or any other state. And I've called on our party for really 5 years now to be the party of purpose here, and we are. If there's going to be change in this state, if we're going to go forward and not directly backward, it's going to the responsibility is on us. And so I think they are right to be worried. But we believe we have taken a different approach. And frankly, the one that some folks are recommending to them.
Governor Jill Long Thompson has proposed lifting the sales tax on gasoline. Prices approaching $4 a gallon. Will you revisit that? And if not, is there anything state government can do to help?
I think it's worth a look. We all understand it. We're talking pennies. It wouldn't make much difference, but I wouldn't rule it out. The state government cannot control the global price of gasoline, but we're not powerless either. We can return more money to taxpayers, as we did in the property tax cut of this year, so they can handle these very difficult bills. We can avoid raising gas taxes. 32 states have been forced to raise their gas taxes in the last 2 years, if you can imagine, in an era of $4 gas. But they're desperate just to keep their roads repaired. We found a way to address our roads issues without raising taxes. And lastly, we can contribute, as we now do, to the alternative fuels revolution. Without those fuels right now, it's estimated gas would cost another 25 to 30 cents. So those things that are within our power to do, we'll do. And I'm not against looking at another tool, even if it's a very, very small beneficial effect.
So would you look at it on a temporary or permanent basis, or has proposed a ceiling or a floor, I guess?
Well, as you know, there's no authority today. You'd have to have the legislature pass a law to do it or to give a governor the authority to do it, and I'm certainly willing to have a look at it.
Do you find any irony that so many of the people who are voting in the Democratic primaries this year are saying we want change, and yet some of the same people who are opposing you are saying that you've brought us too much change?
It's crossed my mind, yes. Not just mine. But that's okay. You know, America ought to be about change. We had a debate what kind of change. But it was very interesting to hear the word so often when we are living in an era of lots of new approaches and action in this state. But I think it's a good debate to have. And we have always placed ourselves on the side of change. From the very beginning, we said Indiana had to act against its problems and had to try some new things or risk decline. That'll remain our point of view.
You know, the unlikelihood of this primary saw just a surge in registration. Yeah. Obviously, I'll vote in the Democratic primary. What impact did that have in the fall? Or did we see a lot of people that just want to be a part of it and they'll swing back? I mean, any idea? Yeah.
I really don't know. I mean, I think sort of suspect the latter, but I don't pretend to know. We don't really know who voted or what they're, or even why in most cases. But I think the excitement, chance to be a part of the action, obviously attracted a lot of folks. And that's good.
Following up to Bill's question, Lieutenant Governor Skillman, Jill Long Thompson's going to be picking a running mate soon. Any comment from you, or are you expecting that your counterpart will be someone from state government from Southern Indiana? What are your thoughts on having some future opponent that's going to be named?
Well, of course, we look forward to the debate that we'll have about the direction our state is headed in. I don't know. I mean, traditionally, you might think you would look toward someone with state government experience, legislative experience, and possibly from Southern Indiana.
Speaking of debates, I mean, are you anticipating that you would have a debate with your counterpart?
Through the years, there's been an annual or one debate held during Indiana State Fair. That occurred in 2004. would expect it to again.
Mayor Ballard is unveiling some of the funding on the Super Bowl package this morning. Any thoughts on what you think of the campus of Bucky Loo winning this competition?
I'm just the cheerleader and participant, as I've been asked to be in the two bids now. I'm very excited about the prospect and very hopeful, but the mayor's is the quarterback of this particular game, and I've just been playing the role I've been asked to play, but hopeful.
To what degree does your endorsement of John Costa signal desire for change in the Attorney General's office?
None. It just signals a desire to make sure we've reached out to every part of the state. We've worked very hard at this, particularly Northwest Indiana, ignored by both parties for far too long in our state. And I just they're two good people remaining in the race, but Mayor Costas is not only a proven successful public servant in that part of the state, but he's a reformer, and I think the sort of person we're trying to recruit to our party. I'll go back to an earlier question. If any party expects to be trusted with public service, you better have ideas and you better produce results. You better have people who are idealistic and can get the job done. He's all those things, and it means that we would present a balanced ticket, south, north, central, to the voters this fall.
Pat, what about the running mate for John McCain? Do you have any thoughts on who you should be picking?
No advice for him.
Is that the kind of balance you're talking about?
Above my pay grade.
Not with you?
I tell you that. There I can give you a definitive answer. Well, that's something I've said more than once. John's too smart to ask, and I'm too smart to say yes. So.
Governor, you spoke to the higher education officials at IUPUI last month. Have you decided yet on a funding source for your college for all scholarships proposal, be it the lottery or something else?
No, not finally. It'll be within the budget, I can tell you that. That is to say, we'll continue our practice of solving problems without tax increases.
Governor, we've asked each year for your tax returns, and we have not yet ever received those. Will you be releasing them?
I make a disclosure every year. I'm not sure what's missing. We'll talk to you after and see.
And have you moved into your family moved into a home?
No.
Tax rebates for a second. LaPorte County had a hearing last night. Yeah. They need to redo assessments. Do you have a view as to whether they need to do that and whether a private assessment should take precedence over what the county did? Mm-hmm.
They might. Some new evidence came forward that perhaps the assessment was not correctly done up there. And so it ought to be looked at. We've not hesitated, as you know. We've ordered reassessments in 20 counties. In Marion County, we now know that homeowners will get a 9% reduction just from the reassessment alone, now that all the business property that was overlooked has been found. So we will not hesitate. If there's credible evidence that the assessor up there didn't do a good job, then I'd be happy to order that, because the goal is fairness for particularly homeowners. And we know that in some counties that did not happen on the first pass.
Is this an appropriate precedent for people to just hire their own assessors to supersede what the county attention should do?
Well, I'm not aware that's what's happened. If they hired somebody to bring the evidence forward, the eventual assessment would still have to be done by the right authorities, the reassessment. But once again, you know, here in Marion County, if we hadn't ordered the reassessment, homeowners would have been unfairly paying 9% more than they really owed. So it's a serious business, and if it wasn't done correctly the first time, we're going to want to find a way to fix that.
That's about exactly what happened, that someone hired his own consultant to do a countywide evaluation.
Mm-hmm. If it turns out he was right, then that was an important act of citizenship, and a lot of taxpayers will benefit from it.
Ben, in the campaign, are you planning on staying on the air now all the way through November?
You have to ask the campaign. I don't know.
Okay. What do you hope the state convention, obviously you've got the business of choosing a superintendent and an AG candidate, but for last time, it seems like you used it to sort of lay out a lot of what would be different about your administration from the current administration. What do you hope it'll do for you this time?
I haven't thought much about it, to tell you the truth. I hope it'll be full as the last one was, of young people and people who are there because they're excited about the direction of this state and about the progress we've made, and who are determined to do even better if given the chance. I believe our party meetings are not about winning elections. They're about building a better Indiana. And one way or another, that's the way I'll approach this largest party meeting.
Just some heat for some comments you made at a Lincoln Day dinner. Is that a subject that you would revisit at all?
Which ones?
About Ronald Reagan.
Well, wasn't that a Lincoln Day dinner?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wasn't that?
Well, only thing you may be talking about, I was getting an award in Washington for, essentially, for, I think, performance and fidelity to conservative principles. And I made some statements which were, frankly, misreported and later corrected, yeah. But just try to give straight answers. Sometimes they're misunderstood.
Governor, in your tenure, there's been a lot of progress made ethanol plants, uh-huh. A lot of flex fuel vehicles passed in recent years.
Yeah.
The state has a new state-owned E85 pump. But one thing that looks like there's missing is that there's no oversight to see if these state vehicles are actually using the E85. There's no tracking mechanism. Do you think there's more that can be done there to ensure these flex fuel vehicles are using that kind of fuel?
Good question. We'll take a look.
Can you speak just in general about the progress you've made with ethanol, E85, over the past few years?
Well, just 3.5 years ago, Indiana was sitting out the biofuels revolution. We'll have a dozen plants in operation and more on the way this year. And we're now a top five producer. If you travel with me to those rural communities and small towns, you will see how valuable this is. It is bringing lots of dollars into the pockets of farmers and rural businesses. It's one of the most important things that we have going as we try to bring small town Indiana back. So we all look forward, of course, to the inevitable transition to making ethanol from new materials. I think it's coming sooner rather than later. But I think it was very important for Indiana to jump into this game. And it is bringing some hope and really important income to places all over our state that really needed a boost.
While we're on ethanol, are you disappointed with the progress of the Biotown? A lot of people up there say that they're disappointed as far as the progress of things like the cogeneration plant that simply haven't happened.
Well, time for me to check again, but you know the digester is being put in place, and as far as I know, is reasonably on track. But Biotown is only what it is, an interesting pilot project, and I still have great hopes for it. The technology does work, and it will be possible for lots of places to become more self-sufficient by, in this case, using waste and providing for their own needs. That digester will provide much more electricity than Reynolds needs, and much can be offered to nearby communities. So I'm still upbeat about it.
Governor, we just completed a very spirited presidential primary for the first time in 40 years. Do you think there will still be momentum for the notion of moving up Indiana's presidential primary in future years in light of the fact that we finally had one in that?
I hope there'll be more now that we've actually seen how much fun it is. When I floated the idea, January? I hadn't imagined, and no one did, that we'd actually have such a competitive contest, meaningful contest here. Now we've seen, I think, what it's like, and I think Hoosiers enjoyed it. I wish it were a every-time affair, so yeah, I still think it's an idea we ought to talk about.
Did you stay up for the Lake County results?
No. No, but But I'll stay up late for much of anything, so maybe a Dodger score, but not the Lake County results. Thank you very much.